Amazing God, you break into our lives in ways that make us fall to our knees and stand in awe of you. Be present now. Shine your light on us and open us to the guiding light of your call for us. We ask this in the strong name of Christ who walks beside us. Amen. So, I remember it was raining. There was mud everywhere. Orders were wrong. Well, I should start with, I was a waiter in those days. So orders were wrong, and I'm sure that it wasn't the kitchen's fault. It was probably mine, too. But most of the time, I was good at what I did. I liked being a waiter. But today, everything was going wrong. The night before, I'd been talking with my older brother. We talked about what the future might hold. I mentioned how I felt about the church and how much a part of my life that it was. But I wasn't sure what part it would play moving forward. I definitely wasn't thinking about ministry in that moment. And then it was the next day, terrible day. Where normally things would be great, I'd get decent tips. I was okay at what I did. But it was a bad day. Nothing seemed to be going right at all. And eventually, 2 o'clock came. It was about halfway through my day, and this was my first break, the first moment I really had to breathe. I went outside, and it just happened that the rain had stopped. It was in that moment that I asked God openly and loudly, what should I do with my life? I was 2 years into a computer science degree, and I liked it. I love computers. But I wasn't feeling totally fulfilled by it. And like I'd said, the rain had stopped. For the first time on that overcast day, the clouds parted and the sun shone down. It was one of those amazing moments where I could truly feel the divine present with me in that moment, just overflowing in that moment. It sounds really cliche when I say it out loud, but that's how it felt. So the next day, I went to the Canadian Bible Society. I went up to pick up my own Bible. I'd already had one. I'd gotten one when I was confirmed. It was a Good News Bible. But I wanted one that I thought reflected me in that moment. Now, there's so many different translations. But for whatever reason, I was drawn to this pocket-sized King James that you need to read with a magnifying glass. I picked it up, and I just flipped it open. But when I flipped it open, it fell to Isaiah 42:6, and it said, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand, and I have kept you. I have given you as a covenant for the people. And in that moment, I felt called, like truly spoken to, as though God had heard my question, that I had ignored every other response up to that point, and this was that slap in the face that I had been asking for. So that summer, I set about changing my major and finding out how the process of seeking ministry worked. That's my call story. That's one that I don't share very often because I often break into tears. I got to practice it with Chris the other day, but It's a really visceral and emotional thing for me to tell that story because it's at that time when I feel the most vulnerable because that's when God is just breaking me down and building me back up again. In our reading this morning from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, we hear a story that is not dissimilar. Here we have a man named Saul, who would later come to be known as Paul the Apostle. He's a man who's high-ranking in his faith and one who is zealous about his faith. Part of his job is hunting down followers of Christ and bringing them to justice. And boy, was he good at it. Just a few chapters before, we don't read about this, but does anybody know the story of Stephen Martyr? Ever wonder where we get that name from, that being a martyr? Well, in just a few chapters before we read today, we read about the stoning of Stephen Martyr. And who is there but Saul? And in that reading, it says he is there, condoning everything that's going on. Today's passage even opens with this, meanwhile Paul, or Saul, meanwhile Saul still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. That's how it opens. It doesn't start with, and there was this nice guy. It's like this man breathing threats and murder against the followers of the Lord. Then something amazing happened. While he was on the road to Damascus, there was a piercing light and a voice. "Why are you persecuting me, Saul?" the voice said. "I am Jesus," it said. And when the light left, Paul was blind and had to be led by the hand for the rest of the way to Damascus. There he found healing from the follower of Christ named Ananias, the only time we ever hear about Ananias. But he was a man who was afraid of Paul. But he ultimately followed the will of God no matter what. Have you had stories like this in your own life? Maybe they weren't calling you to a life of ministry, but a life of faith in one way or another. Did Christ ever meet you on the road and cause you to change directions drastically? Most people of faith do have some kind of Damascus Road experience. But often it isn't accompanied by blinding light or a godly voice. Most of our experiences of the divine end up being more subtle than that. But every now and again, Christ grabs us by the shoulders and gives us a shake, causing us to reevaluate our path. Now, we might say that Paul's story is a little different from our own. At first, he sounds like a terrible guy, zealous about his faith, yes, but to the point of killing, or at least condoning the killing of brothers and sisters in Christ. How could his story of conversion, his coming to the light, be something that we can relate to, us being all the nice people that we are? Ananias even talks about this. When Christ came to him in a vision, when Christ called to him, he said, "But Lord, I've heard many things about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem." Ananias was worried, not just about going to see Paul, but about the choice that his Savior had made in choosing Paul. But God seems to follow that pattern, right? Calling the most unlikely to one day be great servants. And so it was with Paul. Despite all that he'd done to the followers of the way, the followers of Christ, Jesus offered him forgiveness. More than that, he was called by Christ to spread the good news that he'd received. So actually, there's a lot that we can take away from this reading. There's a lot that should give us comfort in this story. A lot that this story can teach us about our own lives. First, that we should expect the unexpected from our amazing God. That anywhere, at any time, God might break into our lives and call on us. And really, God does that all the time. In small but life-altering ways, God does this all the time. It could be a sunset like any other, but for you, that sunset's different. It could be a piece of scripture that you've read 100 times, but in that moment, it's not about another person, and it's not about another time, it's about you. Second, it doesn't matter how lost we feel, It doesn't matter how unworthy we think we are, and it doesn't matter how irredeemable we feel. Christ seeks out the lost. He names us as worthy beyond price. And He redeems us without condition. Now, those are two things that we can take away from this reading, and those are good things. And we've been teaching those two things for a long time, which is great. But do you know where the true grace is found in this story? Can you pick out the miracle that we should take away from this story? The truly unbelievable thing that happens. Paul, a man whose life is about imprisoning and killing Christians, who was on the road to Damascus to do just that, came to these same people that he'd been hunting and sought community with them. That's not the miracle. The miracle is that they welcomed him. Sure, he probably got lots of strange looks, wary looks, like he probably got from Ananias, but they didn't turn him away. They forgave him. These regular people, not God, forgave him. And they ultimately embraced him as brother. See, that's part of the lesson here. That yes, God can show up at unexpected times and unexpected ways. And that yes, even when we feel at our lowest, God can lift us to new heights. And that yes, as Christians, as people of the way, we are called to radical forgiveness, to loving our enemies and embracing those that we once called enemies. As with many of our teachings, it comes down to forgiveness. A forgiveness that we think that only the divine can grant, but that we are called to embody. Can we do that? Can we truly embody the grace and forgiveness that Christ offered to Paul? That the people in those days offered to Paul? Can we do that? As we think about how we might respond to that call in our lives, let us take a moment for prayer. Open us, O God, to receive your light this day. Pour out your forgiveness on us that it might overflow and fall on all around us. Reach through us that we might be bearers of your grace. Shake us, O God. Call on us again to be your people of radical love. In the name of the risen Christ, we offer this and all our prayers. Amen. And now, as we remember our own stories of call, the ways that God breaks into our lives, let us turn to Voices United number 509 and sing, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky. This is actually my call story song. That's why it's here. I love this hymn. Let us sing it together.